Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestling Chat Radio's SmackDown Radio. We'll be talking to you at 347-215-8486. SmackDown this week, really a bag. And we're going to be getting to it in just a minute. Before we do, news on AEW and the first report is that the final release will be literally still in their ring attire. Literally in their ring attire. In other words, once they came out, they wrestled the Lucha Party, walked directly backstage, and asked for the release. Now, what we're hearing is that the powers be told them, give us 3 months to work out what we're going to do with you. And if you're satisfied, then we'll talk about it. Which is what the WWE is going to do, folks. WWE is not going to hand anybody their releases right now. So all of these guys who are under contract, who still have 3 months, 5 months, 6 months, whatever it happens to be, they can ask for their release all they want. The WWE is under no obligation to give them a release. Quite frankly, they won't. Because they realize they're going to run probably straight to AEW, and that's not what they want at this time. Also, apparently asking for their release was Mike and Maria Kanellis, but that's nothing new. They've asked for their release before, and they've been denied. They got a statement saying the WWE was treating them wonderfully and whatever, so they're kind of walking that thin tightrope. But then there's another name that surfaced recently, and that is Zack Ryder. Is rumored to be very, very interested in going to AEW. And then just recently, apparently Dolph Ziggler was offered a contract by the WWE to pretty much end his in-ring career and be used backstage in some capacity as a producer or whatever it happens to be. And Ziggler turned that contract down. And reports I get is that he said the contract required him to not wrestle at all. And he wasn't ready to give up wrestling. So it kind of contradicts the statements that he was ready to give up wrestling. He wanted to concentrate more on his comedy act. And maybe he would be better suited to backstage job. Apparently that's not what Dolph Ziggler wants. So Ziggler turns that contract down. I'm not sure exactly when his current contract is up. But that does not sound good. So there's been an awful lot of people on the internet debating, is AEW really going to affect the WWE in any tangible way? They're an upstart federation. The WWE is a billion-dollar business, and they're well-established and blah, 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 blah. The answer is yes, of course, they're going to. And if you can't see that, look no further than the fact that there are people asking for their releases to free them up to go to the company. Now, as I told you on an earlier episode, you're not going to see this in any real sense from guys in their late 30s or early 40s. Because these guys are comfortable where they are, and they know they can count on the WWE for a fat paycheck after their ring career is over. In fact, they can network that into a deal. AJ Styles is sitting in the cap seat right now. AJ Styles will get everything he wants from the WWE and a cherry on top. And he damn sure knows it. So, of course, he's going to play the AEW card. Of course, he's going to say they offered me more money. Chris Jericho said the offer that I received from Bob Kahn was, and I quote, the largest amount of money I've ever been offered in a contract in my professional wrestling career. Now, this is Chris Jericho. This isn't Zack Ryder. Chris Jericho has been offered a lot of money. So he did not give the exact amount he was offered, but you can speculate that it is a very, very, very lucrative contract. For Chris Jericho to say, I was this close to signing with Impact. I was negotiating with WWE right up until the Bob Kahn deal came through. But when this deal came through, I gave it to the WWE and said, this is the deal. Can you match it? And I didn't hear anything. Translation, they can't match it. Now, we got another Ted Turner situation here, is where you have a billionaire with a ton of money to spend who does not mind spending it. So he is going to get some of these people, because there are a few of these people in the industry that say to themselves, geez, if I can do this, if I can sign a 3-year deal at that kind of money, I may not need to worry in the future. So, of course, AEW is going to hurt the WWE if this continues, and that is exactly why the WWE is hunkering down and saying no one's being released from their contract. Now, will this affect booking? Let's hope not, because then we're in a situation where everybody, suddenly the revival of the tag team champions, because you got to keep them happy. Suddenly Dolph Ziggler's back on TV in a big way because you got to keep him happy. Do what you normally do, WWE. If you believe in it so strongly that what you're doing is right, you cannot allow contract negotiations to dictate booking. Because if you do, then you've lied to the fans when you said the fans are going to come first and you're going to be our new authority. Now, Maniac is saying, let's hope they don't Dixie Carter it, meaning, you know, spend and spend and get nowhere from the spending. Well, yeah, let's hope they don't. But the difference is there wasn't much interest in the product when Dixie Carter took over. The product had been failing. There's an awful lot of interest in AEW, an awful lot of interest. And Chris Jericho has been quoted as saying the following: I would never have signed the contract with AEW unless I knew for sure they had a major television deal. He signed. They have a major television deal, folks. They're holding it. They're holding it like the ace in the hole. They're holding it until a moment where they can say, here we are. But they have it, because Chris Jericho is too streetwise to be bluffed. He's not just going to have somebody say, oh, we got it. Okay, I believe you. I'll sign on the dotted line. That's not going to happen. Proven they have a major TV deal. And he has said this both on his radio show and on interviews, that I would never have signed unless I knew they had a major television spot. So they have it. So if they have a major television spot, and from what I hear, it's going to be Tuesday nights. It's Tuesday Night Thunder is what I hear it's going to be called. It's going to kind of start when the WWE shifts SmackDown to Friday. And they're going to try to, I guess, play off the momentum of Monday Night Raw leading into Tuesday for their federation. Which could, this also could hurt the WWE. Let's face it. People are getting used to the 1-2 punch of Monday, Tuesday. Oh, we get to see what the other brand does directly after Raw. Now we're not going to do that anymore. You're going to have 4 days, and you're going to have another show. So maybe you watch Monday Night Raw, then you watch Tuesday Night Thunder, and you say, I'm wrestled out, and you don't catch Friday. These are all things that we're going to have to see. But the WWE is already feeling it. And for people, I know people love the WWE. I love the WWE too. But for people, rational people, people who claim to know the industry, and people who have shows much like mine, to say, this is nothing, this is, the WWE is not remotely concerned, you're lying to yourself. The WWE is very concerned. And they have a right to be concerned. Because when you have someone with that much money, and they put someone in charge with this much wrestling acumen, with this good of a tie to the business, and such a great reputation with the workers, it's a 1-2 punch. Everybody wants to work where they're happy. So let me ask you a question. If you work in a factory somewhere and your bosses are on your ass, like you can't believe, and you do this and make sure you do that, and you don't wear this and you don't do this and you don't say this every minute of the day, but you're making really good money, and your friend opens up a business that does the exact same thing, the same amount, if not more, he's the owner and says, look, I already know what the problem was in the other business, so we're not going to have any of that here. You're not going to be tempted to go work where you're happy and where everybody's kind of one big family. AEW has promised that this thing is going to be like one big family. If they can keep that promise, which is a very hard thing to do in the world of pro wrestling, but if they can keep that promise, the WWE's in for some hard times. Because now a wrestler has an option. They don't have the gun to their head saying, where are you going to make this much money? Who else is going to give you blah, blah, blah? Chris Jericho, it was the highest amount of money he has ever been offered. And that's after saying that Impact Wrestling offered him an extremely large sum of money. Jericho has some friends there as well. And Jericho is going to be one of the elite people who can also work for New Japan. So they're going to build that into some of these guys' contracts, some of the larger names. They're going to, and that's probably going to be the Kenny Omega selling point too. They're probably going to tell Kenny Omega, you can go ahead and work in New Japan if that's what you want to do. And Omega will sign with them. Because WWE's not going to let him do that. See, what shook me up is when Cody Rhodes and Bob Kahn both said, we are not just offering an alternative to the WWE. We are attempting to change the way the business works. Because to fans, I don't mean that much. They don't know the inner workings of the business. But if you really are attempting to change the way the business works, if you really are saying, look, we are going to give the wrestlers some profit sharing in here, we're going to give the wrestlers, a decent, really decent paycheck, and, we're going to allow them to work outside in certain aspects if they have to. You are changing the way things work. You're changing it to a more amicable way things work and a less protective way things work. And if these wrestlers see this, they're going to feel comfortable with it, and you're going to lose a lot of people. And in the meantime, you're going to see a lot of wrestlers mailing it in for the WWE because they say, look, my contract's up in a few months. I have no intention of re-signing. So why am I going to bust my ass and hurt myself? Could be a very interesting time in professional wrestling. If that kind of money is being thrown around by the Khan family, the sky's the limit.
I mean, yeah, if that's the kind of money that's been thrown around, and the rumors are is it's TNT, you know, that's the deal. That's the rumors right now on the internet, is the TV deal that they haven't announced yet. And look, we've seen how the WWE tends to, and I've said this, I'll say it here on this live radio show. Remember what they did when they didn't want Ted DiBiase to leave? They paid him not to wrestle. You know, and basically, I get the feeling that some of these people that want to leave and go to AEW, that's exactly what the WWE is going to do. They're going to pay them not to wrestle. Now,
oh, you're absolutely
will they be
correct.
Able to?
That's an absolute option, and they will do it. They've proven they'll do it. WWE is not letting anybody go right now, folks. If your contract is up, then you don't have to re-sign. But if you still got time on your contract, the WWE is under no obligation just because you say you want out. Now, they may not let you go in that ring and work because they know you're not, if you're not happy and you don't want to be there, then you're not going to put on a good performance. So guess what they're going to do? They're going to Ted DiBiase Jr. They're going to sit you on the sidelines. They're going to nibble you. They can't force you to wrestle any more than they could force Neville to wrestle. But at the end of the day, where did Neville end up? So we'll see what happens here. Let's get right on to SmackDown. It starts, of course, with Becky Lynch coming out. Every time Becky Lynch comes out now, I shudder, and here's why I shudder. I love the character. I think she's doing an excellent job, but there is always that please don't cross the line thing to me. She is now starting to cross the line a little bit, and I fear that she may lose some of that momentum. You have to be very careful. Becky Lynch's character was based on a girl who really just got pushed too far. A nice, hardworking, dedicated athlete who tried to do things the right way and kept getting shafted and shafted and shafted to the point where she said, I'm done. I'm doing what I need to do to win. I'm looking out for number one. And I'm going back to what got me here, which is just being tough and going in there and kicking people's asses. Nothing wrong with that. But now she's starting to come out with this weird sort of I don't even know how to put it, an extraordinarily masculine persona. And I don't think it's going to suit her well. The reason we liked her is because she was a different person in the women's division, not extraordinarily masculine figure. She's even calling herself the man now. Things are starting to take a turn where I hope she puts the brakes on a little bit of this and just says, look, the people respected me because they knew I reached my breaking point. And that's a cool character. I'm just going to do what I want. And you know, I'm going to be a badass and go back to my roots of, you know, brawling. But sometimes I think that the shark is really getting close to being jumped. Now, Asuka comes out. And for the life of me, this is the problem when you have wrestlers from foreign countries who just don't have a terrific grasp of the language. I have no idea what she said. The announcers kind of reiterated it. I caught a few words here and there. Becky Lynch was trying really hard not to laugh. You really need to watch it because Asuka's eyes are bugging out of her head and she's attempting to do this speech in English and it's not working out that well. And Becky Lynch is close to laughing. Doesn't work. So then she just cuts it in her own language, which is way better. Doesn't matter if we know what she said. We get the idea. We get the emotion from it. This leads to the Iconics coming out. I don't know why. They've won nothing. They've done nothing. I have no idea why they just keep showing up and poking the bear and getting beat up. That is their job now. They show up, poke the bear, get beat up. Which is way less than they deserve. So that's what happens. Becky Lynch says, I'll show you what the real champion does. I challenge either one of you girls to get in here. It was an okay match. Becky Lynch, of course, ends up winning. And then Asuka has to prove she can do the same thing. Pretty common booking. The Iconics are just there to further a feud between Becky Lynch and Asuka. The Iconics, could have been filled in with any two people. It didn't matter. It's a shame that's what they've come to, Todd. But I guess it's an okay opening to SmackDown.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. It was an okay match with the Iconics coming out and one get beaten by Becky Lynch and the other get beaten by Asuka. And like you said, I think with Asuka, I think she needs a mouthpiece to work with her.
Yeah, it would help. Look. Without being cruel, she can't do it. And when the announcers have to translate for you, it just doesn't work out. It doesn't hold the same weight, Mike. So, it was an okay opening, but again, the Iconics, big deal. Nobody thought they were going to beat Asuka or Becky Lynch, so.
You know, let me ask this. You think you could, much like Lucha Underground does, you think they could get away with letting her do it in her own language and putting subtitles?
I wish they would. I wish they would. That would be a much better option. Much better option. Why not? Broken English, it's not working. And in their own language, we don't know what she's saying, 95% of us. So, yeah, of course, subtitle it. It would work. It would be better than this. So this is how we start off. The AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan skit, which was pretty good. I mean, AJ Styles is taking the fan side, basically saying, eat what you want, do what you want. He ends up attacking Daniel Bryan with condiments and leaving Daniel Bryan in a pool of mustard and some other things. A little early for Daniel Bryan to get his comeuppance, which means he probably is hanging on to that belt by hook or crook at the Royal Rumble. But overall, Mike, a pretty good skit.
Right. And it's a pretty good skit. I mean, you know, that's some of the things that he's been railing against, that Bryan has been railing, you know, it's a fatty food, you know, you got your mayonnaise and all that stuff and all that stuff. It's some of the, it's nice to see that. And we know that AJ wants to take time off. So like you said, he's not winning that title. They may want to make it look good, but he's not winning because, again, he wants to take his time off.
Yeah, it's very unlikely AJ would win it back. So let's get to the Andrade. That's what he's known as now. Andrade. No more Cien Almas. Which is really weird. I mean, could you not just call him Almas? That's his last name. I know people who they call him their last name, you know. But not their first name. That's really weird. Think about it. Why would you just call the guy Andrade? That's his first name. That's like Andrew. So if you had some guy whose name was Andrew Almas, you don't say, here comes Andrew. That's just bizarre. I don't know why the WWE thinks they need to do this. They didn't say Antonio for Cesaro. They said Cesaro. So it should be Almas. But no, it's Andrade. I don't know why they're doing that. However, I will tell you this. One of the better matches I have seen on television in a very, very, very long time. And again, this comes with a caveat. And the caveat is, apparently, Andrade Cien Almas has been asked by several of his friends in the lucha companies that he worked for, who have been approached by the WWE, if the WWE is a good place to work for, if he feels that they should sign, and he has said no. Let that sink in. He told them, avoid it, don't sign. WWE is not going to like that. So I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to show these guys, oh, that's not true. Maybe we screwed him up to begin with, but he's on the right track now. Because suddenly they're using Almas the way he needs to be used. But for Almas to get in there and literally say, no, don't come here, that does not bode very well for the WWE. Think about that again. This is when you're putting them up head-to-head with AEW. You got top guys in the WWE telling their friends, I wouldn't recommend you come here. You're not going to like it when you get here. Well, what does that mean? That means they don't like it. So suddenly Almas is getting pushed. Now, to his credit, Rey Mysterio is a legend. Promise you. Rey Mysterio could say, I'm not putting Almas over twice. I promise you Rey Mysterio could do that. And when I saw the match was booked, I said, okay, that figures. Almas pins Rey in the tag team match, and now Rey will pin him in the solo match, and that'll be kind of like an even Steven thing. That's the way WWE works. To their credit, that's not what they did. And that's the right move. Terrific match, start to finish. Almas looked like the Almas I remember. And if they continue to do this kind of thing with him, Todd, then, you know, the sky's the limit.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's I wouldn't leave WWE if they AEW offered me a contract. I'm like, no, I like it here right now. I like where I'm going.
Well, we're talking more about whether or not they will use Almas the way he needs to be used, and also if they are doing this because Almas has not recommended that some of his friends sign with the WWE, Mike.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, and we know who I got a good idea who some of his friends may very well be, and you're absolutely right on that. And look, not only I've said it before, they needed not only to rehab Andrade and Almas. I guess they think if it worked for Elias, it's going to work for Almas, the first name thing deal, you know. So, but if we have got to do something to not only rehab Almas, but to rehab Zelina Vega, you know, because I've said it before about her. She's supposed to be an astute business manager. You know, is a manager, you know.
Right.
For her to be that good, he has to win.
Absolutely, or she looks ineffective and stupid. It would be like Paul Heyman's guy losing constantly. Maniac saying the veteran need to put over the up-and-comer. Yeah, absolutely he did. But again, I guarantee you Ray didn't have to. In other words, if Ray had went in there and said, I'm not doing it, I didn't come here to put guys over, they probably would have said fine. So give kudos to Ray. Now, I know they're friends. I know he and Almas are friends. Still, friends or not, business is business, and Ray could have said, well, come on, where does this leave me? I'm in the mid-card of SmackDown now if I do this. And he is. But he still did it. And at this stage of his career, that's what he belongs doing, putting over some younger, newer talent, much like John Cena did Monday night with Finn Balor. And that he is scheduled to do with Lars Sullivan. Let me talk about Lars Sullivan for a minute because this could be important. The WWE's statement on Lars Sullivan is that they are intending to give him time. There is no actual date set for his debut. They are just going to let him get himself together. And when he's ready, they're going to give this another go. Now, I know everybody's going to get that warm, fuzzy feeling and say, well, you know, that's great. The WWE is very understanding of this problem. And depression and anxiety are very real problems, and you do need to be sensitive to them. It's not that I'm not sensitive to them. It's that this is professional wrestling. And you cannot book a man who 2 days after he gets in says, I'm sorry, my anxiety is not going to allow me to do the WrestleMania match you booked me for. I'm sorry, my anxiety is not going to allow me to walk out there today, even though I'm on the card. Where does it end? Yeah, okay, fine, give him his chance. But if this happens again, if he shows up, does 3 or 4 matches, and then has more anxiety, more whatever, and you cannot have someone like that on the roster. It's a shame, and I'm sympathetic to his anxiety issue, but it precludes him from being a professional wrestler. You can't have stage fright and be a musician. You can't be camera shy and be an actor. It's just the way it is. So if your illness prevents you from doing what it is that you're being paid to do, you have to quit. So I'm all for giving him one more shot, Mike, but no more than that.
Right. And look, I'm going to use this other guy as an example. Ryback, about the same size, about the same type of guy. But he always showed up, you know. He didn't, you know, you may have not liked his attitude if you're the WWE, but he always showed up. If this guy keeps doing this, if Lars Sullivan keeps doing this, and look, he's the exact guy the exact type of guy that Vince likes. Got the look. He's a big guy.
Yes.
And Vince likes that type of guy. And I think Vince will give him a number of chances, but that number is going to be finite.
And you got to be careful because, again, what happens if he comes back and he's fine? And you debut him, and he squashes a few people, and he's on his way to a big match, and then he says, oh, this is a very big match, and my anxiety won't let me do it. You've just booked him for nothing. You can't have it. So they're going to have to draw a line in the sand and say this is the way it's going to have to be. One more small piece of news before we continue with what's the bottom half of SmackDown, and I really mean the bottom half. Apparently, Brock Lesnar was allowed to handpick his opponent at the Royal Rumble because Vince had decided they didn't want Braun Strowman to lose. And Brock Lesnar handpicked Finn Balor. Now, first impression is, oh, isn't that nice of Brock Lesnar? No, it's not, because Brock Lesnar knows he's winning. So now Brock Lesnar says, look, do I go out there with a guy who couldn't hurt me if he hit me for real? Because my MMA career is still pending. Or do I go out there with some bruiser guy like a Drew McIntyre or whatever who could lay me up for a week if I do something wrong or he does something wrong? So listen, this is all politics. He'll put on a decent match with Finn Balor and he's going to look like the good guy for picking him. But believe me when I tell you, Brock Lesnar wanted to go in there with a guy whose size and body structure he could 100% control at all times and not have to worry. Pick the lightest, smallest guy, and you'll certainly not be laboring to throw him around, to pick him up, to suplex him. You're not going to hurt yourself doing any of that if you're Brock Lesnar. So that's a very smart pick by Brock Lesnar. Anyway, we now go straight down the old crapper with SmackDown. We get probably the worst overall skid I think I've seen in probably 5 years. With Mandy Rose trying to convince, was it Jimmy Uso, to come to her hotel room, telling, flat out telling, Sonya Deville, well, I hate Naomi and I'm going to try to break up her marriage. Well, let's talk about this for a minute. Number one, I don't know any reason you would hate Naomi. There was never any backstory to why you would hate Naomi to that degree. So there's number one that doesn't make any sense at all. Number two, you just said on national television that you're doing this as a ruse. You didn't think anybody would see that, and perhaps if it was real life, call up Uso and say, hey, don't fall for it, brother. Go watch the TV monitor. But it gets worse, folks. He shows up, and she's supposedly in skimpy lingerie. However, it's not skimpy. It's actually more... It covers more of her body than her ring attire. If you really wanted to go for this, I'm sorry, then you had to get a little risky here. You had to get a little risky here, and you didn't. You went very safe. But then, the piece de resistance. Somehow, Naomi's in the hotel room. Someone please explain this to me. Is she a cat burglar? Did she climb up the side of the wall and sneak through a window? How did she know what the hotel room number was? How did she get in there before Mandy Rose if she didn't have a key? Did Uso show up beforehand, open it up, and how did he know Mandy Rose wouldn't already be there when he... None of it makes any sense. It was ill thought out. It was horribly performed. And then, another icing on the cake, they get into a fist fight, which would obviously happen, and Mandy Rose runs into the bathroom, because of course you would run into a room with no other door that Naomi could easily just get in and beat your ass more. You wouldn't run out into the hallway. You wouldn't run out to escape so you could get to your car or anything else. You would run in where you're trapped, essentially. This is insulting. I mean, this was very poorly written. And it was very poorly performed. And it played to Naomi's weakness, which is that she's not the world's best person on the mic. For the life of me, I don't understand it, because when she was in the movie, the Marine movie, she was very good. She didn't have a huge part, but the part she had, she was good. She can't do this stuff. She cannot do it. And trying to make her do it makes it worse. This just came off looking like a clusterfuck of stupidity, illogical writing, poor acting. And just from the get-go, it doesn't make any sense, because the basic plot of it is, I hate Naomi so much, I want to break her marriage up. Well, that's an intense hatred. So now you have to explain, where did this intense hatred come from? Because I don't remember Naomi doing anything to Mandy Rose. We haven't been given any backstory on why she might want to do this. So, Mike, how does this make sense in anybody's universe?
It doesn't. You know, I mean, you know, it really doesn't. And look, you talked about how she was Mandy Rose was dressed. I mean, you know, when they did the thing with Enzo and Lana was wearing less.
Yes, she was.
And you know, and don't even get me started on what Alexa Bliss was wearing or wasn't wearing on Monday night. You know. That came off looking better than this, you know, even though it was a nothing burger with Alexa Bliss. But, yeah, I mean, and look, you're absolutely right. She's not good on the mic. So, I mean, there are rumors out there that they're going to put her and Lana, Naomi and Lana together, which to me would make very much sense, because Lana's good. Lana's very good on the mic. And what's her name's good in the ring. So, you put somebody with her that's good on the mic, you know.
A maniac in the chat room had a great idea, really. The other Russo, you know, Jay should have shown up, went in there, closed the door. You don't hear anything, you know, and then go back and do a match or something and come back and have him walking out and have Mandy Rose say, well, you know, I just want to let you know that I did this because I hate your wife, Naomi, and I'm going to show her this clip and she's going to know everything. And he could have said, go ahead, because I'm not married to her. I'm Jay. That would have been great. that would have been superb. The reason they wouldn't do that is because then some clown would have said, oh, that's using a woman in a sexual way. No. It's a storyline. And she would have got her comeuppance. That would have been funny. The reason they didn't want to, I guess, is they want to have that big fight with Naomi and her. But the fight made no sense. Because once again, you don't retreat to some place you're trapped in. Let me run into the bathroom. For what reason? Now you're trapped. Terrible. It was just terrible writing. Just terrible. Really, it should have been the opposite. Really, she should have said, I'm trying to break up their marriage. And then later, Uso should have kind of came on to her and said, come to my hotel room. My wife won't be there. And then when she got there, tell her to get into something more comfortable. And then when she came walking out in something more comfortable, Naomi could have been there, and they would we set that up. That would have worked. This does not work, because I'd have no idea how Naomi got in the hotel room. It's ridiculous. Terrible. Terrible writing. Todd, it made me laugh a little bit. It was so ridiculously terrible.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. It was horrible, that skit with Jimmy Uso and Manny Rhodes in a hotel room. Like you said, I don't know how... I by the looks of it, I think there was a bathroom. I think she was hiding in the bathroom when she came out or something. I think she was in the room and the bathroom.
Well, she was,
in the room,
but how'd she get in how did she get into Mandy Rose's hotel room? I don't know. Maniac saying they probably would have done that with the Bellas. Yeah, because then they wouldn't have, you know. It's okay if you use the man. You can't use the woman. You know how that works. I still think that would have been a great idea. That would have got the Usos over more than anything if they said, you know what? Jay's not spoken for, whichever one it is. I always lose track of whether it's Jay or Jimmy who's married to Naomi. But whichever the other one was, even if he is married, which he probably is, doesn't matter. They don't play that up on the show. They could have just said, hey, man, I can't go. I'm married, but I don't think she knows the difference. It would have been great. That would have been very funny. We then get to, it's going to be the main event. And the main event is Shane McMahon's birthday bash. I want you to let that sink in. The WWE has said to us, we are going to put the fans first. We are going to let you be the authority. We're going to give you these compelling matches. And you did. You gave us Andrade Cien Almas, who I refuse to call Andretti. Andrade, whatever his name. I refuse to call him that. Maybe we should just call Shane, Shane. Coming to the ring, Shane. Coming to the ring, Kevin. How does that work? Anyway, I mean, they do that with last names. Goldberg, you know, a lot of that. They don't say, coming to the ring, Bill. That's a feature match in anybody's world. If you ended with that match, I'd have been very happy. Shane McMahon's birthday party is not the main event, despite the ridiculous ego of the McMahons. We then get the party crashed by the bar. Leads to a match. Leads to Shane getting involved. It's, yeah, they had the interesting birthday cake incident. And it, look, it was okay. It's not the main event. That is filler. That's what's called filler. That's what you put in the middle of your show before you end with the top match of the night. You don't end with this. So the last half of SmackDown was poor because you got this horrible Naomi and Mandy Rose gimmick, which the WWE is very high on Mandy Rose. And I'm going to be very honest with you. I am not very high on Mandy Rose. Above the fact that she's obviously a very attractive girl, I don't see a tremendous amount of whatever. She's not a great actress. She's average in ring. I don't see what they see other than her looks. And if you're the WWE women's division, you better start getting worried again because we got back-to-back shows where a blonde girl is half naked. You know, I thought we were over that. I thought we were past that. I thought we were in a new generation where women weren't getting where they're getting on their looks. And all of a sudden it's, let's get Alexa Bliss topless, hanging onto her top, and let's get Mandy Rose in lingerie in a hotel room. Interesting. Let's not take three steps backwards. I understand you have to do some things for storyline. But if you're going to treat the men like the women, when's the last time you had the men, you know, like that? When's the last time you had a thing where a man is running around like that? Well, you know, because your audience is, you know, 60-40 or 65-35 male. So you're not going to do that. But at the same token, I don't know if this is where you want to go. And it worries me a little bit, Mike, because it's back-to-back shows.
Yeah, it's back-to-back shows. And that's the thing. I mean, I go back. The reason why the thing with Enzo and Lana worked out really, really well, it was well written, one, and it was well performed, and it made sense because when he shows up, you know, Rusev was in the room.
Of course, it's Lana's room, right? And what all sold that skit, Mike, is that Enzo can act. Enzo going to that door and saying, I should not be here. This is, I'm not, I can't do this. And explaining to Lana, look, I came, he portrayed himself as a guy who talks a big game. And now a woman has taken him up on it and he don't want to look like a punk. So he shows up to the hotel room to save face. I'm going. And then he gets there and he realizes I'm in over my head here. I was just talking shit and I didn't think she would ever, you know, approve of it. And now I'm in this situation and I just got to say no. He was a sympathetic character. It worked. This did not work on any level. It just didn't work on any level. Neither did the Shane McMahon birthday bash thing. It's not what fans want for the main event of SmackDown. I'm sorry. It's not. It belongs in the middle of the show somewhere, and okay. But not this. Not as the main event. Not as the closing thing. And it kind of undermines everything you did, you know, the rest of the show. So was it better than Raw? There, certainly the Almas versus Rey Mysterio was better than anything on Raw. But I'm not sure that the whole show was better than Raw. This week, Raw to me was not bad. It had its flaws. Now we know why Finn Balor actually won. I'm not a guy who's into Finn Balor versus Brock Lesnar. Can't be a good match, and I'll tell you why it can't be a good match, because there is nothing that Finn Balor can do that will make me believe that he could take out Brock Lesnar. Nothing. I will not be able to suspend my disbelief that far, period. I won't be able to do it. Because his whole offense isn't, he's not like Daniel Bryan in that way. Daniel Bryan is smaller, but some of his offense, you could say, well, look, if a guy, he's still 200 pounds. If a guy runs and needs you right directly in the face at 200 pounds, that's going to rock you. If he is legitimately a savate fighter or has some kind of martial arts skills in kicking, and he's kicking you directly in the side of the head or whatever, that's gonna hurt you. So there are things that Daniel Bryan can do that you say, well, you know, that could bring him down. Finn Balor, what's he gonna do? Sling blade him? He shouldn't even fall for a sling blade with that weight. Stomp on his stomach? That's gonna kill Brock Lesnar. That's gonna hurt Brock Lesnar. Finn Balor's entire offense shouldn't be able to handle a guy the size of Brock Lesnar. That's the problem. It's not like Finn Balor is a huge striker. He's more of a finesse sort of a guy, and it's not going to work. Now, will he come out as the Demon? Maybe, but he has the same offense. Doesn't matter. The Demon is just face paint. He doesn't change what he does. It's not like he's Dude Love and Cactus Jack and Mick Foley and Mankind. He doesn't change. It's either he has paint or he doesn't have paint, but everything else is the same. So there's nothing in his offense that makes me think he could take down Brock Lesnar. So I'm not going to like this match. So that's why I didn't like Raw this week. The reason I didn't like SmackDown, the first half was great. It was well on its way. After the Almas versus Rey Mysterio match, I said, if they can pull off a good birthday bash gimmick, something that really shocks you or is different or unique, or this has all been some kind of hype or a joke, something that makes your jaw drop, this is going to be an A-plus show. Because even though the Iconics weren't so great and that whole skit wasn't so great, I'm not going to bury them for it. But man, did they ever take the wrong turn after that. Straight downhill it went. The last half of that show is a D-. First half of that show is an A+. So for that reason, I'm stuck. I'm going to have to give it the C-. Mike, what are you giving it?
I'll have to give it about the same thing. And look, I want to just touch on something I've been thinking about since we watched that match with the three-way match last week on SmackDown. The reason why what's-her-name did not win and she took the loss is because she has the number 30 in the Royal Rumble. You know,
you're talking about
and
Carmella.
They could be Carmella. They could be looking to use that Royal Rumble to cycle her up again. She's been cycled down a lot for the last, I don't know what, 3, 4, 5 months now. You know, it's time for her to cycle up again. And they could very well use the Raw Rumble to cycle Carmella up.
I mean, I guess they could. I don't know if anybody's going to be excited about a Carmella versus Asuka if she wins, or Becky Lynch if she wins match at WrestleMania. That's the only problem. See, this is the problem we got with the Royal Rumble, too. Now that Braun Strowman is not facing Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble, I almost feel like he's the guaranteed winner. I mean, there are some people saying Batista's going to come back and win it. It's going to be Batista versus Lesnar. Maybe that's the case, but is Batista versus Lesnar, you know, going to work? Some people are saying Seth Rollins is going to win it. Seth Rollins versus Lesnar. Is that going to work? I don't know. The WrestleMania story, if you could script it, unfortunately, real life can't be scripted. The WrestleMania story is that Roman Reigns returns and wins it. But that's likely not happening. So what do we get? We get Braun Strowman probably in the Royal Rumble. It's very possible he's going to win it if they can't work things out with Batista or they whatever's going to happen. Or they don't want to go with Seth Rollins, which I don't know whether they do or they don't. Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar doesn't sound like a great match to me. I'd rather see Seth Rollins versus Daniel Bryan, if Daniel Bryan's the champion. I think that would be a great match. What I was hoping for, but I guess it's not going to happen until after WrestleMania, I was hoping for one more brand draft, because then the Royal Rumble would have different ramifications. If you say, wait a minute, Shinsuke Nakamura's over in Raw now, could we possibly get Nakamura and Brock Lesnar, which I still think would be big money if it was done right. Or maybe AJ goes over there. You don't know what's happening. This guy goes over to SmackDown, so maybe it's going to be this guy against maybe Seth Rollins and Daniel Bryan. The shakeup should happen before the Rumble, because then it fills you with doubt about who's going to win the Rumble. They should always have had those draft just before the Rumble, because it will definitely muddy up the waters of who's going to win. Right now, I'm almost guaranteeing you it's going to be a Raw guy, because if AJ wins, fine. Who's going to win that you're like, he won the Rumble, he's going to take on AJ. If Bryan wins, who's going to be he's going to take on Daniel Bryan guy? Nobody. So it's probably a Raw guy that's going to win, and it's down to Brock Lesnar, Seth Rollins, and then maybe if they can get Batista. And that's it. Do I want to see Batista versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania? Eh. Do I want to see Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania? Eh. Seth Rollins? Eh. I don't know. None of them sound that great. So they may have a little bit of trouble here, Mike, based on that.
Right, they may very well have a little bit of trouble based on that, and that's the thing. Now, you know, who would be the one to win it? If they would go, we know that the guy who's at number 30 is not going to win it. That's
R-Truth. Right.
Yeah, he's not winning it. So who on SmackDown, you know? That's the question now. You know,
you're absolutely right, Mike. Who on SmackDown is going to win? Nobody. There's nobody. Rusev's already a champion. He's not going to win. He's not going to be in it, probably. Who's going to win? No, there's nobody. That's why I know it's going to be a Raw guy. A maniac in the chat room saying you can't have a part-timer versus a part-timer at WrestleMania. I agree with that. That's why I don't want to see Brock Lesnar versus Batista, if that's what they're thinking. And I don't want to see a part-timer versus a part-timer. I thought we were done with this. I thought the WWE came out and made a statement that we're going to go with what the fans want. The fans don't want to see these part-timers. There was rumor they're trying to get The Rock. Somebody's telling me The Rock. I don't believe for a minute The Rock's going to fight Brock Lesnar. I know Vince McMahon wanted that match. I don't believe it. And here's why I don't believe it. Because The Rock has movies to do afterwards. And he's already suffered one time when he got injured and they had to postpone a movie. And that hurt him financially tremendously. And the movie companies don't want it anymore. They won't sign you if you're going to do something like that. And Brock Lesnar's got to be the one guy they really don't want him to fight if he's got a film commitment coming up, because Brock Lesnar is not known for being careful with people. And The Rock is not exactly razor sharp when it comes to his wrestling skills anymore. So the propensity for him being injured is extraordinarily high. And it's just, they won't do it. I'm telling you, they won't do it. They do, they're insane. So this is what we got. Have they really changed all this much? You know, so far I would say the change is minimal. We've gotten slightly better matches. But I still see business as usual to a large extent. Mike, what's your rating overall this week?
C minus. And look, I finally figured out why they gave Sarah Logan that gimmick of the you know, she's a Viking.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know why? Look who she's married to.
Yeah, I guess. And speaking of marriage, we should be congratulating Nikki Cross, who got married. I guess longtime boyfriend, because I saw a picture of them when he weighed 150 pounds. And of course, that's a fellow Sanity member. Why am I drawing a blank on his name, Mike? Who did she marry?
It's not Eric Young, is it?
No. It's the Killian Dane. Killian Dane is married now to Nikki Cross. And it's worth your time to go on the internet and see one of the pictures they posted where Killian Dane was like, I don't know, 200 pounds if. Doesn't even look like the same guy. But congratulations to them anyway. Todd, what's your rating this week?
I got to go with you guys, a C-.
So we're all kind of in agreement, C-. Maniac saying WrestleMania needs to go back to starting in October or November and not at the Royal Rumble in Russia. I agree with that 1,000%. There was a time when you just felt WrestleMania in the air, and you knew big stories are coming. Big feuds are coming. Major storylines are about to develop. Now it's just like, no, the Royal Rumble will start it, and we'll have a month and a half or two to get things done. That's not good enough. And I still say the Royal Rumble should not be for a title shot. It would be a hell of a lot more fun if anybody in the world could win this thing. Because right now you'd be saying, maybe R-Truth is going to win this. He's got number 30. He's got the best overall number. Maybe he can win. Now you know he's not winning. Out of those 30 people in that Rumble, you could pretty much 100% eliminate 25 or 26 of them. And that's ridiculous. That's 95% of the entries you can eliminate immediately, because they will not be someone the WWE would book to headline WrestleMania. So forget that. Go back to just being a Rumble where anybody could win. Anyway, SmackDown dropped the ball. They had a great first half, and then they just sunk like a rock. So we'll see what happens, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back here on Sunday with our show. There should be a blizzard coming here in New York, so let's hope everything works out for us. If so, we will see you Sunday. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.